This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Spotlight on eWomen, the place for everything eWomen Network. Entrepreneur, enterprising, enlightening, and exciting. Please welcome your eWomen host, Phyllis Smith.
Hello, hello. Yes, I'm Phyllis Smith, and welcome to Spotlight on eWomen Network. So I recently came across an article in Psychology Today about how our bodies experience the same reaction to excitement and trauma. Now, this could be a big aha for people who find themselves sabotaging their success or not taking certain risks that could take their business or life to a higher level. I mean, after all, your body is experiencing the same arousal effect from excitement and trauma, let's say, as in a sexual assault. So if that's the case, your first line of defense is to avoid that feeling, right? You could also feel shame around that traumatic event. So you might feel you don't deserve success. Well, let me tell you one thing. You do deserve success. Whatever happened to you in the past that is preventing you from reaching your potential is not who you are. So how do you switch off those trauma voices and discover the best possible you? Well, it starts with discovering what success and happiness really means to you. But that's not as easy as you think. I mean, after years of avoiding success, you could use a little help guiding you in a new direction. So today, we're going to talk about overcoming fear and overwhelm to achieve success. My guest today knows what it's like to settle into a life that she thought meant success. Growing up poor with her parents, who defined success as hard work leads to rewards. I mean, we've all heard that, right? But she found herself on the high achiever express wheel in school and then corporate America spinning out of control, but never really finding true happiness. But she changed all of that and has spent the last 25 years inspiring and coaching others to change their personal and professional life into lives filled with passion, success, and happiness. So please welcome eWomen Network Premier Success Coach, Mary Meston. Mary, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. Phyllis, thanks for inviting me to the spotlight. And this is so exciting to be talking to all the folks here on the eWomen's Network.
That's right, eWomen Network and the world, because we can be heard everywhere in the world, thanks to the internet. So does this article that I just cited about associating success with trauma resonate for you at all in your own life?
It does. And the word trauma for me is a little heavy, so I'm going to reframe that to say kind of maybe anxiety. But it definitely, I think we all have heard that the chemicals that create the sense of anxiety or fear are actually the same chemicals in your body when you're excited or anticipating, just like that first date. You know, it's the same chemical, but if you don't know what's going on and you don't realize it in your mind, you could definitely have a very negative reaction.
So what was it for you then? What was that that sight, let's say anxiety as opposed to trauma? I mean, you grew up poor. That in alone is, you know, can create all kinds of anxiety and difficult feelings.
Oh, absolutely. I think I could probably cite most everything on the anxiety indicator. You know, growing up poor, I mean, I had a loving family, but we were very, very financially challenged. And with that came the mindset of scarcity, not enough, doubt, and easily not believing in yourself. So at some level, just like post-traumatic stress, all of those that they compile over a length of time can really add up and make it kind of a fairly severe process on your mind. So I didn't know what I didn't know. So I wasn't going, oh, I'm in a traumatic lifestyle or event. It's just how I knew it to be. And, you know, I was raised with, you know, get going, get doing, and hard work will get you out of there.
And it did. I mean, you were quite successful. I mean, some people who grow up in a poor environment, that might be, like you say, all they think they deserve. And then others like you decide, you know, somehow I'm going to get out of this, and you overcompensate in a way, and you become this crazy high achiever and achieve a lot of success. So what was you ended up, you did very well in school and you were in corporate America doing very well. But what was your aha that made you realize the beliefs you had around success weren't working for you?
You know, I'd like to think there were several ahas. I mean, the one big aha I can share that really, really still sticks with me today is when I was going to my lovely corporate career, driving 3 hours each way on the freeway. Yes, it was commute traffic.
What? 3 hours each way? Oh, my gosh. Put a gun to my head.
And I'm a type A driver. So you can imagine just the blood pressure that I worked up en route to and fro. And at some point in time, I realized that it would be easier to just have an accident on the freeway so I wouldn't have to deal. And that was an aha for me. I started to calculate the hours I spent on the freeway with high blood pressure. And even though on the outside it was a phenomenal career, I did enjoy what I did. I loved the people I worked with. It just wasn't worth that sacrifice anymore.
So you learn through these various ahas, and that's a big one, that you actually, happiness and success doesn't just come to you. You had to create your own happiness and success. So how did you find the courage to take that leap? I mean, did you jump or was it a series of small successes?
I would love to say I took one big leap and I trusted the world and all that it offers, but I have to be, you know, really transparent and say it was a number of small successes. Very typical to when, if you think about how we learn to ride a bike, you don't just, for a few of us, maybe a few people can just get on a bike and go, but most of us have to learn in small steps, you know, the balance, the staying on, the enjoying the ride, and it was a number of small successes. You know, after I realized that I kept recreating similar circumstances despite different jobs, and though it looked great on the outside, I wasn't feeling the happiness or success. And so little by little, I started to change that.
So give us an example. What was that first step that you took to create that happiness? I mean, my gut is, and I mentioned it in my intro, that you first have to know what success and happiness means to you. So I imagine, was that your first step?
Oh, absolutely. And that's exactly when I coach with women about success. It's very getting clear on what success is to you. And for many of us, we think success are those big things, that huge promotion, the large home, the best-selling author. But in reality, every large success is made up of small successes. And so what I do is we work to get really clear on what those ideas of success are and chart the path and the process.
Yeah, I understand. Absolutely. And so I guess what I'm trying to understand, that let's get down to that. What I wanted to first understand your process when you discovered that you weren't happy. How did you go? What was the process you took to figure out what it was, what success and happiness meant to you? What were the components of that?
I spent quite a bit of time. I know a number of people have heard about it, but I did do a lot of journaling and I did a lot of visualization. So I just really spent some time set aside for myself on a daily, a weekly, and a monthly basis to say, well, you know, I'm living what appears to be success, but I don't feel it. So let's go back to what would be success for me. And I often help clients refer back to when you were the younger you, before the world conditioned you and before you became living what others feel is success for you. Go back to those earlier days and what made you happy? What did you enjoy? What did you find fulfilling and gleeful? And just really start drawing that out. I literally do actual physical drawing journals, or I do just writing journals to determine that for success for me, you know, it wasn't that big corporate title or that nice office. But success for me was much more about what I felt on a daily basis in all of those moments. And obviously 3 hours in a car was not one of those moments I wanted to continue.
So you became a high-performance coach. You've been coaching since 2001, and in 2014 you became a high-performance coach. What does that mean? What does high-performance coach mean?
High performance coach. It's a certification through what is called the High Performance Institute. And for those of you that are familiar with personal development, that is an institute founded by Brendon Burchard, who most recently was doing a complete series on Oprah's network about hope, change, and being bold. And so that is very much a certification through his group and, in fact, from him personally. And the concept of a high performance coach is we focus on five aspects in your personal and or professional life that if you master those, you will be far more successful. And in fact, the top Olympians, CEOs, and various leaders and entrepreneurs absolutely do those practices. And for me, I've always been a performer, you know, the hard work, overachieve. But I wanted to find out what was it that helped me do that and break it down.
Can you give us those five aspects?
Certainly. And the first we've already talked about. The first one is clarity. Having clarity about what you're wanting to do or achieve or feel is the first. And if you master that, and obviously it's a lot easier said than done, and it sounds simple, but there's quite a bit of work behind that. The second is mastering your energy or your physical being. So if you're not feeling well, mind or in body, you're not going to have the energy it takes to do all that you need to do to be successful. And I think when we talk about trauma and anxiety, I know for me that one of the other ahas in my corporate life was that I was just severely exhausted and I didn't have any time for life other than going to work and from work. So mastering your energy is really, really important. The third is courage. And we've already mentioned that one as well. And courage is that ability to step into the unknown or step into that anxious feeling despite feeling that, knowing that once you get through that, you know, things change. And I do a lot of work around courage, particularly I find that's an item that a number of entrepreneurs come to me because there's always something holding us back, and it's generally a sense of fear. And so I prefer to work on courage. And there's a courage cycle and a courage method that I use with folks. The fourth is having influence. If we think about it, in life, we're communal beings and we work with others, we are around others. Unless we're just highly unusual and go hide out in the hills, we're community beings. And so learning to have influence is key. And then the third, when you think of high performance, it's mastering your productivity. It's basically how to do more while doing less. It's kind of the opposite of hard work. Though you do work hard, it's not hard work for hard work's sake. It's working smart.
One of the things of those five, we could probably have five different shows. I do want to go back. You did talk about clarity, journaling, all of that kind of thing. And I know there's more to it, but that's one way to start. Certainly mastering your physical energy, exercise, eating right. You have to come first. And as a certified yoga instructor and health coach, I can tell you that that is numero uno. It's very hard to, you can get things done, but to achieve your full potential, to feel good about yourself from the inside out is something that is really a foundation that I think is so crucial to reaching your full potential. But this thing of courage, the ability to step into the unknown despite your anxiety, and you have various things that you do. Could you just maybe give us one example, one tip to find that courage, to take that risk, to overcome that fear, to step into the unknown, to take, you know, just to plow through, like somebody would be, you know, plowing through fire, you know, or just to get to the other side. Of course, I'm not saying people should be plowing, but you've seen it in the movies, right? Somebody on a motorcycle driving through the, you know, the flames. Give us one thing people can do today to find the courage to break through.
Definitely. And in fact, I think I'll give you a kind of a 1-2 step.
Great.
The first, what I do with folks is we scale the fear. So generally the opposite of courage, some would say, is fear. And you're fearful of something. Most often, people don't necessarily really define what exactly they're afraid of. And so we work, I have a system where we work on defining that fear and kind of what level is it? You know, is it discomfort where you have just sweaty hands? Does it go to the next level where it's severe discomfort and you stutter and maybe don't leave the house? And then there's a joke, and it's not necessarily a joke, but it's a fear of death line where there are people that are so afraid of certain things that they are paralyzed. So we scale the fear. And then once we've scaled it, we obviously have a sense for what the fear is. And we look to see if it's a fear of loss or process or outcome. And from that, then we develop that step into the flames, what's appropriate for it. And not often is it always, you know, a big step into the flames for some. You know, if taking, you know, courage for some is just saying no to that next M&M that's on your neighbor's desk if you're trying to lose weight. For others, I do a lot of speaking. It's getting up in front of people and just trying it on. And what I tend not to do with folks is I don't say just get over it and just do it. Though I love the Nike slogan and I've worked for Nike, I think we have to be more sensitive to the person and really step into taking that courage. And I think we've all have heard, and I think it's very well proven, that the first step to overcoming a fear is stepping into it. So unfortunately, there is no way but to step into that courage. But taking a small step is the way to go.
And then eventually, small step, then you start building confidence and going, you know, and going further with it. We have to take a short break, but when we come back, another issue that gets in the way of success, overwhelm, and how we can break through the chaos. Coming right up.
Never has there been a better time for women to hack success. The shift is on and the breakthroughs are real. We're taking success to a whole nother level. Join us at the Women's Success Summit, a gathering of dynamic, smart women helping women. We want to learn about you and what you have to offer. Bring your A game and be prepared to transact some business. Oh, and by all means, dress to impress.
Register at eWomenNetwork.com.
Hi, this is Steve Kidd, the host of Thriving Entrepreneur. You can listen to us Tuesdays, noon Eastern, on the EWN Radio Network. I want you to know you are uniquely brilliant, created for a purpose. The world needs you, and we want to help. Listen to me and my guest Tuesdays, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, on the EWN Radio Network as we help you learn how you can be a thriving entrepreneur.
Welcome back to Spotlight on eWomen. Here's your host, Phyllis Smith.
Yes, welcome back to Spotlight on eWomen Network. I'm Phyllis Smith. So I'm speaking with eWomen Premier Success Coach Mary Meston about overcoming fear in our business and personal lives to achieve success. Another thing that prevents us from achieving our true potential is overwhelm, especially for women entrepreneurs. I mean, let's face it, if we take on, we just tend to take on so much, our business, our spouse, our children, trying so hard to be great at everything. Well, after all, being an overachiever is pretty fundamental to being an entrepreneur. But with all of those responsibilities comes the weight of the world on our shoulders, and we find ourselves overwhelmed with too much to do, and subsequently, we get nothing done. And Mary, we were just talking about one of the things in terms of high performance, your high performance coaching and helping people achieve high performance is the fifth thing of the five was mastering productivity. And so that's a tough one because we do take on so much, don't we? So how do we know we're really in the overwhelm stage? What are the signs so we know how to fix it?
I think overwhelm is probably so prevalent that we all know. I know for me and for many of my clients, there's a couple of big signs. One, when you're just physically exhausted, like when you get off the to-do list for the day, you realize it's the evening and you haven't done anything for yourself. Or when you're really short on emotions, when other things would bring you joy, when one more thing happens, you either end up in endless tears in the corner or you end up angry. I think those are the key signs, at least for my clients.
And so how would overwhelm then prevent us from high performance, from achieving our potential?
Oh, I think it's one of the most, aside from fear and learning to become courageous, I think overwhelm is it's so prevalent today. And there's a number of ways that keeps us from, you know, obviously achieving our success. And the first we just mentioned, when there's so much to do, when do you put yourself and your business first?
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes I find a lot of people use overwhelm as the reason to procrastinate from actually trying their business.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to get nothing done, and it's kind of safe to say, well, the family, the kids, the children. And in reality, we really need to set aside a time each day where we focus on what's most important to us personally and to our business. And I work with a daily productivity planner sheet, and it's pretty effective with my clients, where on a daily basis, we set down what are the priorities for today. Those are the musts. Then we talk about what ongoing projects are we working on. And then we put down other things. So we are always prioritizing on a daily basis. And, of course, making ourselves and our business one of those priorities.
What are the so that's actually really a good way that we can just start today, is creating that list of musts, ongoing projects, and other things. And I just know it's kind of interesting. I once had my yoga teacher, the woman I became from whom I got my certification, once said to me, "You do busy very well." And do you think that on some level that people can kind of have you mentioned that it's a way to prevent them. It's almost a subconscious way to prevent them. But do you think sometimes people are kind of have an addiction to being busy? Like they like to say, "I'm doing this, this is and this," makes them feel useful in a certain way, and that they have a need for that on some level.
Oh, absolutely. I can speak for myself. I know in the corporate world, and even today in my coaching business, I can do busy really well, but do I do results? And if you look at the word business, it is busyness.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of letting, the day drive us, we need to order our day. And we do have addiction to staying busy because it makes us feel good. At least we're accomplishing something. But when we look a year later, did we get any further? And that's the key, is to really set some, we clarify and we obviously work on some goal setting, and then we check in on those goals. Because I, too, can suffer from the week of busyness. And when you get to Friday and go, wow, what have I achieved? I don't like those feelings. So I work to always feel I've accomplished something and I've met those goals for that week.
Do you think also it's, and going back earlier that we were talking about fear, that when people sometimes can get to a point where they start to feel that excitement, then things can really start rolling. And then all of a sudden there's this sense of deflation, like somehow something comes up or you start losing your steam. How do we catch ourselves? I mean, how do we know that that's what's going on, as opposed to you're really losing steam, or maybe, there's the universe is telling you just to take a moment or take a break. How do we know when we're actually avoiding success?
Well, you've hit on a really key syndrome. It's our way of resisting or self-sabotaging right before a big breakthrough or a big success, because it's often easier to stay in the what you know than to find out what you don't know once you get over that next success hump. And
mm-hmm.
And how I work with clients on that is when unusual things that weren't challenges before start coming up, and there's excuses, a change in pace, a change in issues, where someone is obviously building a barrier. And the way to find that out is obviously a coach or mentor is wonderful because they can reflect for you, because it's easier to see the forest for the trees when you're out of it. Or often when you just see your patterns change. And I encourage people, and that's why we work on daily and weekly practices where we just get quiet and reflect to see what resistance is coming up. Because oftentimes mm-hmm. we can actually use the feeling of overwhelm or as resistance, and that's something we really need to tackle.
Yeah, and so overcoming overwhelm is part of overcoming fear. And you know, when people have clarity, when people give space for themselves in their head and their physical and, you know, and emotional and psychological environment, I mean, we are made up of all of those things. When we give ourselves space, that space could be scary to some people. You know, that we fill it. We tend to fill it with, fill that vacuum with things so that we don't really have to think about ourselves. We think about other people. We think about our work, you know, so that we don't have to go there. And that courage is what you were talking about earlier, one of the five tenets to high performance coaching and reaching your potential is to overcome that and find the courage to get into that space, no matter how frightening and lonely and scary and quiet it is. So did you ever experience, I mean, when you grew up poor, did you have a lot of siblings where there's a lot of noise around? I'm just curious if you experienced that and how you overcame that.
Oh, that's interesting. I had not thought about that. I was one of four. I'm the only daughter, but my brother and I are much younger than my two older siblings. And our life was really very, very quiet. But what I didn't do was I didn't take that time, in hindsight, to really reflect and journal. I very much avoided that. One, I was aware of the value in it. And two, when I would go there, I found ways to, quote unquote, sabotage myself and get busy. I was a hard worker, and so I'd take care of the house or help my dad with his jobs. And again, I lived that busyness life as avoidance. So it is a key thing to really give yourself that place, space, and pace, change of pace, to really reflect and see and get real with yourself. And it's uncomfortable.
And, you know, it's interesting. I'm really feeling that the fear and overwhelm are all very much intertwined. I have one more question, and I know we could, like I say, we could do five shows on this. You work with people to achieve success in their business and their life. Can you actually say that you are complete in your success if you only achieve success in one area of your life?
And are you asking me personally, or if I were to coach a client?
In general. In general. As a coach, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. I say any success, small, big, large, medium, is a complete success. I think life is a series of successes. There's not just one singular success. And in giving ourselves credit for succeeding, even if something small, gives us that courage, the confidence to take on something bigger and better. Life is a series of successes.
Beautiful. Well, Mary, we have to stop for now. If you want to learn more about Mary Meston and are thinking about working with a business or life coach, you can check her out on ewomennetwork.com. And that's ewomennetwork.com. Click on Premier Success Coach link. And if you're interested in networking with other like-minded, success-oriented women entrepreneurs whose focus is to give first, share always, and lift as you climb, you can learn all about it at ewomennetwork.com as well. And when you become a member of eWomen Network, you get 2 free coaching sessions with any of the Premier Success Coaches. Just saying. So thanks for listening, Mary. Thank you for your time. And until next time.
Time's up for now. If you want more enlightening conversations that could change your life, visit ewnradionetwork.com.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who have been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. and once you become a member, you get many benefits, including two one-on-one coaching sessions.